Who's starting the damn podcast? We're sitting here like making hand gestures at each other.
I'll give you a hand gesture.
Oh, it's the middle finger. I was hoping it was something. Never mind.
Oh, wait.
Wait, what?
Phrasing. We're not doing phrasing anymore, which they didn't for an entire season.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They did it because that joke is so worn and it's still funny, but
they said that they're going to stop after season 10.
Oh,
aren't they on season?
They're on 5 or 6 now.
I like that they're just like, yeah, in 4 more seasons.
Yeah.
Because we know we're getting
renewed. At that point, we're done. We're not The Simpsons, damn it.
Well, and the internet's still freaked out. Like, what? Only 4 more seasons?
4 more years. Oh, God. Our country.
What were you going to do if you were going to intro the podcast?
I was going to just let you know that you had something on your microphone.
Yeah, it's foam. To make it sound
this
good.
This weird foam boner on your microphone.
I call it sound gooder foam.
Sound gooder?
It also means that I don't have to look at you.
Oh, nice. Yeah, kind of a dick.
You know how I was going to start the podcast?
Ni hao.
No, not like ni hao.
Yeah.
What the fuck did you make me watch before this started?
Huh?
Pineapple.
Oh, pineapple.
Pineapple, pen, apple, pen?
Pen, pineapple, apple, pen.
Pen, pineapple, apple, pen.
Yes, that's a thing on the internet.
It's awful.
It is. It's as bad as Numa Numa.
If you could define a creepy uncle.
Yeah. Creepy, androgynous, probably gay uncle, because he's in the open gold shirt. And you know what? Yeah. Open gold shirt and leopard scarf and loafers.
I don't know what I watched. I'm not all right with it.
I thought it was awesome. Like,
it's many things.
It's a lot of things.
It's a lot of things.
It's an internet of things.
Oh boy. Welcome to the Negative One podcast, where Thomas and I make each other watch or listen to or do stuff we've missed and get yelled at about all the time.
Like gay sex.
And apparently, wait, what?
No,
that's not an assignment on this podcast. Oh. But apparently, and this is, I'm doing it now. I'm going to make it canon. I'm not doing the whole month of October as Halloween anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you tried this bullshit last year.
Yeah, no.
No, we're not doing this.
And you're getting Halloween-themed stuff from me. That is what you're getting.
It's so stupid. Okay.
We can only do this for like this year. Because for somebody who doesn't like horror movies, you seem to have seen all of them.
And that's how I know I don't like them. It's not that they're bad. It's just I know that they're not for me. But they're for all of my friends, so I have to sit through them. So... So since it's October, I guess Thomas forced me to do a whole month of horror movies again. Second year.
I didn't. You were the one who came up with.
I did not.
You came up with this episode. Yes, you did.
I came up with this episode because you told me that October had to be all horror movies.
You've got to come up with 2 more.
Anyway, I made Thomas watch a movie called Dark Country. It's a passion project for Tom Jane.
Yeah.
Who many of you know as the Punisher, who John Barenthal was better than.
Yeah.
Tom Jane was an awesome Punisher. John Barenthal just fucking,
I've never seen The Punisher or Punisher Warzone. Never seen
Punisher
them.
Is good. Punisher catches how emotionally wrought Tom Jane was. And I also think it's a
Frank
pretty
Castle,
well-framed movie. Frank Castle, sorry. It's a well-framed movie. I thought John Travolta played a very good bad guy.
Who did he play?
I can't remember the character's name. And I'm a terrible person for forgetting. But anyway, he played the kingpin that ultimately commanded the order to have his family killed or whatever.
Who was... So he also played the Punisher in Warzone, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Warzone was played by somebody else.
Okay.
I want to say Dolph Lundgren, but I know that's not right. It's a huge behemoth of a guy. Punisher Warzone is great because it is the most brutal, aggressive, angry parts of the Punisher just killing shit.
Yeah.
But none of the other stuff.
See, I'd never seen either one, but I had heard how did this get made on
Punisher
Warzone.
Yeah. I thought Warzone was a fun-ass movie, so it's not great, but that's where John Barenthal's awesome is because he could be brutal and relentless and you're still like, but he loves his daughter so much.
Right. He married
the two flawlessly.
Yeah, that's him playing... basically Shane again.
Kind of.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law called it. When they said that they were going to bring in the Punisher and recast it, he straight up said John Barenthal is who it's going to be. And I think he either put it on Facebook or I found the text he sent me and it's way beforehand and he totally fucking called it. And that's why he's like, this is a guy who has enough range that has been proven in the character of Shane, and he's got the look and he's got the body build. He is perfect. So if he goes for it, it's his.
Yeah.
And he fucking nailed it. Yeah. I called Brie Larson as Captain Marvel a little while ago. That was one of the ones
that's
I threw
one out. I don't care about.
I to me, it was either going to be Charlize Theron or
that's a bit too heavy handed.
It's a little bit too pushed and forceful. Or yep. I said they would get someone amazing and under
I
the radar.
I see Brie Larson as as the look. I don't know about the personality because I don't know enough about Captain Marvel.
I think she can be an awesome Carol Danvers. So I had picked her. She wasn't my number one, but she was on my list for sure.
So you say Carol Danvers. So that leads me to what I've been doing this week because I got a couple of things actually.
What have you been up to?
So one, I got a new phone. I got an iPhone 7 because I needed a new phone.
Did you drill the headphone port?
Yes, and it stopped working thereafter. I got to call Apple. No, I'm not an idiot.
Dear everyone, when a new phone comes out and the internet says there's a feature, fucking don't.
If you have to physically mod your phone in order to make it work, don't do it.
I'm going
to
disclaimer this one time a little harder. Don't drill a headphone port into your iPhone 7.
Yes, or 7 Plus.
Either. Yeah. Don't drill anything into your phone.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea.
Good Lord.
So I got that. But you said Carol Danvers, and that made me think of one of the things that I've been doing, which was Supergirl. The first season of Supergirl is on Netflix.
Here's how this is going to go. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Thomas.
Yeah.
you didn't defend it at all. No. You're like, yeah, I deserve some apologies.
No, it's not bad. It's not horrible at all. Some of it's pretty smart. The two problems that I have with them, and our friends at Drunken Dork would probably agree, and they're the ones who know more about this. They didn't make it a continuous universe. You've got Arrowverse, which is Arrow and Flash, right?
Ouch.
The Super Girl universe, Kal-El, Superman's already in it. He's already been a part of it. He's
Henry
in Metropolis.
Cavill?
No, I don't know who they get to play. But then in Supergirl, I get it. In Supergirl season 2, he'll be in, or if he's not already, he's in the, like, as a character.
But it's not there's interaction. Henry Cavill.
No, I don't know who plays
it. What
the
fuck is DC doing?
Well, it's a different universe. That's their point.
You shouldn't do it that way.
But then again, you get roped in as well. So like in the MCU, right? So you've got the TV shows on Netflix, which are part of the cinematic universe, but you're never going to, like, Robert Downey Jr. is not going to be on an episode of Daredevil. At best, they may use a clip from the movie, but probably not. They'll just reference it. The best that they've had with that is in one or two episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Samuel Jackson is shown up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Samuel Jackson and he scares me a little, but because he would fuck me up.
Hashtag honest white guy moments.
But he also.
Honest white guy moments.
But he's also a bit of, in no offense to him, but he's a bit of a whore. He'll do it for money.
Yeah.
You know, he does Capital One commercials. Come on. So, you know, he does.
Correction. He does Capital Bank commercials because money.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, so he'll show up on an episode or two, but you're never going to have, like, Hemsworth's never going to show up. Evans is never going to show up, right? Scarlett Johansson's not going to be on some rinky-dink TV show. And, you know, to that point, Ben Affleck's not going to show up on season 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever of Arrow. It doesn't matter how popular it is. He's not going to do it. They're not going to afford him.
Did you see that they cast Deathstroke for the...
I was listening to Drunken Dork on the way in, and I'm like 2 weeks behind, and I heard them talking about it. I don't know who the guy is, so.
Oh, Joe Manganiello? I'm totally saying the last name wrong. It's funny. I'm Italian.
They did too.
I can't do it. He's a good pick.
Is he?
And it's funny. He posted his picture of all the Deathstroke comics he was going to read, and he put hashtag research.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck this. And I'm going to zoom in and see if he's reading the right shit. He's reading some.
I'm sure DC sent it to him, like. Because you know that
they let you into the vault,
and both of those companies have lore masters. They're people that know that lore for the most part better than anyone.
Yeah, they got to get Slade Wilson down Like, if they fuck Slade Wilson up. And on Arrow, they did a good job.
Have you seen Arrow?
Yeah, I've seen the episodes with Deathstroke.
There's more than one. There's a whole season.
Well, I've seen a good handful of those. I think I've seen like 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good.
Yeah.
There's some changes and liberties they had to take, but he still feels like Slade Wilson.
So the nice thing is that they explain that. So Flash does show up in Supergirl at some point, and he's from an alternate universe. So they're doing the alternate universes, which DC is known for. And that's all fine. They're wanting to use Flashpoint as part of Flash season, whatever, 2 or 3 or whatever season it is that's coming out. They're doing Flashpoint in the first couple episodes, which I don't know how much you know about that. Yeah. It changed everything to the new 52. Yeah. I think they're going to converge everything together.
Hmm.
Anyway, I've been watching that. It's not been bad, but you said Carol Danvers. Well, Supergirl's name is Kara Danvers.
It's so stupid.
Or Kara, or I don't even
they
remember.
They all rip Kara. Each other up. My biggest gripe with Supergirl, and I'm not going to get on a feminist platform and scream, the part that annoyed me is that they did not have to make her a girly girl in the city, but she's also Supergirl. Like, they could have...
She could have been anyone.
There was 1,000 other ways to go at that plot, and because it's ABC, right? Or who does Supergirl?
It was CBS, and now it's CW.
They always come... Yeah, that's why. Because they come in with that teeny girl angle to make sure that they get mass appeal, and then they can try and say, look, pink wearing t-shirt sweater girls can be fucking into Supergirl too. It's like, come on. Just, there's 1,000 other arcs that you could have pulled from. It's just tired. Tired on me.
I feel like you have to give her a different enough life, and you know, you have to be able to show this is how you make money. And they did the same thing with Clark Kent. Supergirl is just Clark Kent female. So Clark Kent is like this nerdy, unimposing journalist dude, right?
Yeah.
So now you have this nerdy, unimposing secretary wannabe journalist girl. I get it. I'm okay with that. I get a little frustrated with the love triangle stuff, but that's what you're going to have that in any TV show. Yeah. So, what are you going to do?
You're throwing your $700 phone across the room. I like that the microphones don't pick up when we drop our phones. Yeah. We think it does and it doesn't, but we still talk about it every time.
Well, and I have a $20 case, which, you know, it's just enough. Just enough. And I have a $10 glass protector screen on it.
I can't find any good ones for my phone. Right. So what have I been doing lately?
Yeah, what have you been doing?
I was hoping that you wouldn't go that long so that I could go forever. Go ahead. I got back from Grand Rapids.
Good for you.
Which is where I went and saw Devin Townsend.
Why are you punching the air?
Because heavy metal.
Yeah, that was the least metal thing you could do.
I know. It's okay. It's prog metal. It's a little weird.
Good on you.
We went to Grand Rapids for 3 days. We went for a little while. It was a fucking blast. That city is the shit.
I'm going there for a single
Michigan
day.
Is the shit.
I'm going to go there to meet with somebody for a single day.
Nice. Are you driving up?
Yeah.
Then driving same back same night?
Probably not.
Don't do that. And when you're done for the day, hit me up because I can tell you where all the awesome breweries are. So we went to...
You know I don't give two shits about that.
You will. We went to Grand Rapids to see the Devin Townsend concert, but they also, for like 6 weeks every fall, they do something called Art Prize, where everybody can enter a piece of artwork in, and then you can walk around the city, walk around the museums, walk around restaurants. There's art fucking everywhere.
Mm.
And then to vote for people, you just take a picture of a QR code, and the winner gets a scholarship.
Nifty.
Or they get a cash prize. And then the university heads of the art department also go around and professionally judge all the pieces, and they pick their favorite. So both people get a prize.
Nifty.
It was fucking awesome. Mm. And when I say the city is covered in art, I mean every square inch has an art piece with a QR code attached to it.
Mm.
Every business has all their windows filled. If there's an open sidewalk that has like where it suddenly like widens out into a big circle, they'll put art on the left and art on the right.
I'm so sorry. You're describing this and now I have Bob's Burgers in my head. The episode where they had the art show on the sidewalk.
Oh, God, and the kids are just painting.
No, it was all, what was it, Louise, or no, Bob's sister-in-law did all animal buttholes.
Animal buttholes.
So I've got that in my head now.
Kind
of. That's obscene.
It was really cool. And then we went to, you know, I'm a huge beer nerd, so.
Yes.
Grand Rapids is considered like the craft beer capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily because the top breweries ever are there. There's actually a few of the top 10 are there. But they were the first city to actually have craft beer explode and have a small craft brewer become huge. Even Sam Adams, which actually, weirdly enough, did you know Sam Adams Brewing Company got headed here in Cincinnati?
No.
And then they went to Boston?
No, I didn't know that. I did not know that at all.
That's totally a thing. Cincinnati is like 50% responsible for Sam Adams Brewing Company.
As we should be.
But Grand Rapids blew up first. And so we went to the New Holland Brewing Company. They make a stout called Dragon's Milk. It's very famous.
You've had some in here before.
Yeah. And so we picked up a growler of vanilla chai infused fresh from the barrel Dragon's Milk and brought it home. And then Founders Brewing Company is also in the city. Founders does the Breakfast Stout, Centennial IPA, Imperial Stout, a whole bunch of top tier stuff. So we brought two growlers home from
there.
You see
my face when you mention IPA? That's how I feel
about
it.
I only brought one IPA back. I brought back Founders Sleeper Cell Double IPA, maybe the best beer I've ever had.
Too hoppy.
Oh, I don't so like, good.
Don't like hoppy
but
beers.
But we drank our way around the city, and then the Devon Townsend...
Randomly taking pictures of art.
yeah. The other thing, I mean, the Devon Townsend concert was absolutely fantastic. They've been doing a small documentary for every city they go to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find the Devon Townsend Grand Rapids, Michigan episode, my wife and I are in the episode. I told a very sweet story to their documentarian because I wanted to make sure that Devon Townsend got to hear it. He watches all the footage and watches the episodes as they go up. And I wanted him to know.
Well, if you find the link, I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we can always do that. Or we can link it on the Facebook and link it on whatever. But I got to tell a pretty sweet story that I've not told on the podcast before about what happened right after my wife and I bought our house. We went through some extreme financial hardship as soon as we got done closing on our house.
Yeah.
And I haven't talked about it on here, but Thomas has witnessed it. I mean, he comes over to record every week. So he's like, "You good, dude?" And I'm like, yeah, we're fine. We're doing good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have ramen today.
I've bought you lunch because it's like, well, I'm here. I might as well.
We kept our house. We paid all of our bills. Oh, yeah. We didn't even touch our savings account, but it was
you,
scary.
You weren't going to die. But
no, but it was fucking scary.
Yeah.
Like, so I told that story and Devon Townsend helped me get through that entire period. It was extremely scary for both of us. But so that concert, I cannot speak enough volumes about how sweet those band members are, how good the show was. That venue was fucking awesome. It's called The Intersection in Grand Rapids. And it is just like the perfect, here's a room, here's the floor, there's the stage, let's have a party. They didn't pat anybody down. They didn't hassle anybody when they were showing their IDs. It was funny.
Is it like Bogart's, but with like...
But awesome?
Yeah. Here's the problem with Bogart's. Bogart's is a crate that they jam as many people in as they can.
Well, but now Bogart's is nice. They redid it.
Finn redid it. But
and it's beautiful
still
now.
Shove as many people in there as you can.
No, the Intersection was a little bit... I kind of like the Intersection more.
Did you? Okay.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, man. I had a fucking blast. But the... what else did we do up there? We did all the beer. We went to the Devon Townsend show. I got on the internet. I got in the internet.
Internet, I am in you.
Oh, that's it.
Will Wheaton?
So across the river in Grand Rapids. So the reason Grand Rapids is called Grand Rapids is because a river runs straight through the dead center of town.
A river runs through it. Not seen that film either.
But the water is only like 6 inches to a foot deep, and there's giant jagged rocks everywhere. So when the water picks up, there's a gigantic raging rapid ripping through the center of the city.
Right.
It's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous and pristine, and the water is crystal clear. But right on the other side of the river from our hotel, we realized, oh, that's the Gerald R. Ford National Museum.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking cool. So it's packed. They have all the halls of the museum are lined with art. And during Art Prize, the museum is free.
Like a Picasso or a Garfunkel?
Like, no, like the city, like the Art Prize stuff. Oh, yeah. Whatever. Shut up. So we walk past the museum, we're checking out the fountains and all this stuff, and then we see this black wrought iron gate, and we're like, what the hell is this? And then there's this gigantic marble monolith. I mean, it goes all the way up to my chest, and then it's angled down so you can read it.
Weird.
And then I'm like, what is behind this gate? What is this marble? And we start reading it. We just randomly in Grand Rapids stumbled across the final resting place for Gerald R. Ford and Betty Ford.
Oh.
And so we walk through the gate, and then you just go back, and there's this beautiful mausoleum, and we're like, holy shit, we just got to the city, and hello, Mr. President. Like,
right.
It was serene. It was one of the most beautiful graves or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It was gorgeous. It was respectful. It was really sweet.
Never been to a famous grave. Because
that's the only, I think that's the only one, except for the ones that are in Spring Grove Cemetery here in Cincinnati.
And even then, like, that's not famous.
Some of those dudes are famous. Like, no. Mulhauser is a huge deal. Yeah. He pretty much built the beer industry after Prohibition.
I mean, yeah. And, you know, the Lazarus family, of course. And,
yeah.
You know, or Shillito, not Lazarus, Shillito family and stuff. But to me, like, that's somewhat famous, but that's not a celebrity. You know, and I would say a president is a celebrity. Everyone knows who the presidents are. Not everyone knows who Shillito is, right?
Yep.
Even though he created the department stores that became Lazarus and then later helped to become, because of the Federated deal, Macy's and McMacy's what Macy's yeah. is now. That's somebody who is famous, but not infamous or not like.
It's like the guy who invented USB.
Yeah, who.
You know, you don't know his name.
Yeah.
He's a fucking billionaire.
But and he deserves a nice grave. And yeah, there are people who know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Well, Linus Torvald, right?
Yeah.
Inventor of Linux. But I asked my mom who Linus Torvald is. I don't know.
Is he an actor?
Yeah. Is he an actor? Is it Chris Hemsworth? So anyway, but awesome. It sounds like it was a good time. Now you have some things for me to think about when I do go there, although I am only going for a day.
Yeah, I will recommend that you hit up Founders Brewing Company.
I may.
And it's
and not get an IPA.
That might be the best bar I've ever been to in my life.
Well, I'll be there with other people, so it might be.
If you want a bar stool bar experience, mm-hmm. they have a 95-foot bar.
If they have food.
If you want a long table and you want to order food, they have a whole bunch of 8-people long tables. That are in a giant section.
Oh, that might be worth it.
If you want a high top table experience, they have a whole section of high top tables. And when I say section, I mean like the size of a restaurant. Then they have small intimate tables. And then they have an outdoor area, which is a half heated patio and a half unheated patio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where the bar gets awesome. Every one of those little areas can accommodate at least 200 people.
Wow.
Ready for this?
It's full.
And every single one of them has its own tap room or tap bar next to it. So you don't have to fucking traverse to the bar and sit through a fucking crowd
That's
of 100
smart.
People. And if you open a tab up front and you decide to go outside, your fucking tab's outside too.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is badass. It is the most well set up and well executed bar I've ever been to.
One of my least favorite things about the emergence of tap rooms and the emergence of craft breweries that you can go in.
All the rooms suck.
Well, some of these places, they're not restaurants.
No.
They're not even really bars.
I think Rheingeist, which is one of my favorite, mm-hmm. my absolute favorite brewery here in
Cincinnati. Yeah.
And they're one of my favorite breweries ever.
I like their labeling, but
they've mastered hops. They've mastered hops for everybody. If you don't like hops, they have good, comfortable beers. If you like hops, they have super aggressive, mm-hmm. ugly ones that are just beautiful.
Ugly ones that are beautiful.
There's no other word for it. Truth is an ugly beer, but I can drink the shit out of it. They have the most fun facility
mm-hmm.
ever, but there's two problems. Everyone thinks it's fun, so there's never anywhere to sit.
Right.
Or like, because they have a whole cornhole tournament area, they have a ping pong area, they have a wiffle ball stadium mm-hmm. painted onto the floor. It's an old abandoned warehouse,
mm-hmm.
but they have no food.
Yep.
They do allow you to have things delivered to their facility, so you can order a pizza and they'll come in and find you.
A lot of places do that.
Yeah. But it's so cool and so fun and so popular, and it's only a brewery. Like, you go there, you get a world-class beer, and then either you wait in line forever for it to be your turn to play wiffle ball, or you stand around with nowhere to sit.
Right.
So it's a give and take. And that's why I thought Founders just fucking killed it. They nailed it.
There are a couple of breweries around that do it right. I like, there's, Mad Tree.
Mad Tree. I like,
there's not a lot of stuff to do there.
There's nothing to do there.
There's only pizza, but it's a nice experience.
The environment is fun, but that's one of the places that they need to turn on air conditioning, and there's nowhere to fucking sit. I stand outside more often than I eat or drink inside.
Yep.
And that's not good. You should want me inside your bar. I'm going to be happy when Mad Tree opens their new facility.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Change it a lot. So.
But hopefully they move the pizzeria as well.
They're doing another one.
Okay, good.
And they're going to make it a sit-down restaurant.
So.
Yeah, we got to stop. But Grand Rapids, Michigan is absolutely amazing. Michigan holds a very special place in my heart. But already, like Detroit, Ann Arbor, but Grand Rapids just shot to the top of the list. That's probably my favorite city in that whole state.
Eh.
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome. Yeah. And the people were super sweet.
We'll see. I've not been there. I've been to Detroit, and that was only when I was a kid. So.
Oh, I love Detroit. All right, Dark Country.
Yeah, Dark Country. Duntry.
We can skip Duntry. A whole segment. Dark Duntry. Duntry. Duntry.
Duck Dynasty.
We can skip a whole segment today, which is why haven't you seen this thing? Because the answer is because nobody has seen this thing.
Never heard of it.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And also because this is only happening because you're forcing me to give you scary movies.
Yeah, scary Halloween. Scary movie. We'll go with that.
It's not a scary movie.
We'll go with that, and we'll come back.
It's a thriller, I guess.
So let's, let's go ahead and go to break, and I'll put together what I,
Good, because I have to pee!
Yeah.
I was trying to imitate the fish from Nemo. He's swimming out the sea! Your face right now, you're not having, you have kids, you've seen Nemo a million times. He's going to touch the button. I'm going to touch the button. I want a break. The fuck are you looking at me for?
I inked.
Damn it.
I mentioned three things that I had done you know, in the meantime, and I forgot one because you took over with Grand Rapids talk. I made my son watch Mean Girls.
Mm.
We were sitting around, it was like my daughter and my wife were both at the Paul McCartney, not Paul McCartney,
the cover band
guy. Yeah, the cover band, the McCartney Experience. That we had went to before we got married. He came back in town. He comes once a year. And my daughter is in love with this guy. And they had the opportunity to go. Drew didn't really want to go and see it again. It's like, okay, we'll go bowling. We went bowling. And, you know, we can go home.
I'm so fucking terrible at bowling.
Yeah, we both suck. It was a good time. Just me and him.
It's always fun.
Me and him spending some quality time together. We got home and I'm like, you want to watch a movie? Sure, we can do that. What kind of movie do you want? Something funny. And I'm scrolling through Netflix and not really finding anything. I came across Mean Girls and I was like, have you ever seen this? He says, no. And he gives me this look and I'm like, dude, funny movie. Like really legitimately funny. And he's like, if you say so. And he loved it.
Okay.
He did love it. So I just had to get that out there. Anyway.
Dark Country.
There's a 30% chance it's already raining.
This is a weird ass movie.
Yes, this movie. Oh my god.
It's fucking strange. If you had to ask me what it's about, I would define it as two people on a road trip find a guy who's been hit unstruck on the road.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
And even that's not fair. Like, there's no way to explain this movie.
How I would explain this movie is do you like The Twilight Zone? Here you go.
that's pretty accurate.
Honestly, do you like the effects of Twilight Zone? Here you go.
This is another one of those episodes where I'm not going to do what Thomas does and go on a 2-minute rant about why you need to pause the podcast and watch this thing. But we're going to spoil the shit out of this because it's the only way to talk about it.
There is a heavy spoiler that you can't talk about this movie without.
So it's not our fault. Now, I will say, though, that the reveal of this, I think even if you know it's coming, I don't think it would change the way that you're like, what in the fuck is happening? I think I liked going in because I think I told you when my ex was doing a lot of drugs.
Which is pretty much the entire time you were with your ex. Gotcha.
But when she was at peak terrible, she got obsessed with getting high and watching trippy shit. And then this is a movie we walked in, and this is why I miss video stores. We walked in and she said to the guy, I want to watch something either trippy or complicated and convoluted like Inception was. And this is what he grabbed. And he said, don't grab anything else. Just watch this. Because at the end of this movie, you will not know what the fuck just happened to you. And we were like, okay. That's literally all we knew is we picked it up, plugged it in, and went, go. And that's kind of the experience that you had too, right?
I didn't know anything about it. Nope. It just said that, like, first of all, how did I find this movie?
Yeah, how did you find this?
Amazon.
I was going to say, it's probably available because it's pretty celebrated.
That was the only place that I could find it was Amazon.
It's relatively celebrated for people who have seen it.
I do search, like, when I look for something to stream to rent, I look four or five different places to see if it's any cheaper anywhere. Sometimes they are, or on sale.
Yeah.
This was the only place that was available for me. Yeah.
Okay. How do you want this conversation to go here? I think about talking about the plot points doesn't necessarily work. It's kind of a noir film.
Yeah, I would give it that. It has a noir feel.
It reminds me of a more...
It seems anachronistic.
A little bit. It's almost It's almost a taint. You know the parts of Sin City, either the comic or the movie?
Nope. Sure don't.
You haven't seen that?
Nope.
We're not going to do that on this podcast. It's not
I've got it saved on my DVR.
It's not that great.
The first one. Mm. The second one is on... Really? I heard it was really good.
In retrospect, I don't think it's as good as I initially... My initial viewing, my opinion on that film has changed a lot in the last few years.
It's funny because I've had Netflix forever. I had Netflix back when they sent you discs. And... This was one of the Blu-rays. Sin City was a Blu-ray that I had gotten that right after, right around that time, it was when they did the streaming, or they'd had streaming for a little bit. And I found myself watching the stuff that I had streamed and never watching whatever disc.
So that disc was sitting around?
I had this disc for 3 months at my house.
It's good. I just, retroactively, I don't think it's as good as I remember. It's kind of like 300. I rewatched 300 recently, and it was terrible.
It was the first
cinematographic thing of its kind, so I don't know. Yeah,
it's all right. Then again, I don't get the comic being as celebrated.
There's a particular piece of Sin City where the one character is driving in his car and he's narrating to himself.
Uh-huh.
And that's very much what this movie is like. However, it's not black and white. It's not over-stylized. It's not noir beaten into the ground.
No, it's not over-stylized.
It's...
I'll tell you what. When Lindsay and I were sitting watching it, she did watch this with me. I turned to her and I said, "You know what this is?" And she's just kind of looking at it in abject confusion. And I said, "It's as if Quentin Tarantino decided to direct an episode of Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits."
Yes,
that's exactly what this is. That's what it is. If he wrote and directed Twilight Zone, that's what this would be. So. Yeah,
a good way or a bad way. Like, did you enjoy the
for what it is? I don't want to say in a good way or a bad way because there are good parts to Quentin Tarantino doing that kind of movie, and there are bad things about Quentin Tarantino doing that right. kind of movie. But it took the good with the bad. The performance, for the most part, wonderful.
Yeah, Ron Perlman pops up in this movie out of nowhere, and
he's only in it for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
like. But most of it is Thomas Jane and whoever plays
the
Gina.
The female lead. I can't remember who plays her.
It's mainly those two. Like, there's not a cast of many in this.
Well, and then there's the guy who's all fucked up.
The stranger, and then there's Bloody Face.
Yeah.
Bloody Face is his name. Which it's just that because he is literally all effed up. He's just bloody
He's pretty
everywhere.
Much... Got road rash
on
every square inch of his body.
Yep.
And they pick him up.
Right. So there's five principal characters. That's it. Thomas Jane's really good in this movie for the acting ability, for what it is, considering the script. Now, is the script spot on? Not really. There's definitely some...
The dialogue has a lot to be desired. Yeah.
They're filling space sometimes.
Yeah, and
the effects are horrible.
It's funny. One of the biggest things I remember about this movie is that for the first half an hour, you're asking yourself, why?
Why am I watching this?
Why am I watching this? Like, nothing is fucking happening. Nothing makes sense. And then that's when you finally get to the point, at least when I got to the point of complete exhaustion and you could tell you were filling time, that's when Bloody Man shows up. Mm-hmm. Bloody Face.
I was intrigued by where it was going. Knowing that it was supposed to be a horror or a thriller, I was like...
You're like, where the fuck is this? Yeah.
Where's this going? Because I know we're establishing something. I just don't get it. I was never bored with the premise or the plot. What I didn't... I found that the effects were so cheap as to be distracting, and there were better ways to do the things that they were trying to do. The driving was horrible. Like, the shots of, of the car going... Like, who doesn't stay in their lane? Who doesn't stay in their lane the entire time they're driving down the street? And this guy never stays in his lane.
Yeah, but when you have a completely open road and you turn off your headlights and your girlfriend starts...
masturbating an orgasm for no good reason?
So that's...
not girlfriend, wife.
One of the biggest gripes I have with this movie, if I had to pick one thing to say this is stupid, the amount of sexual content in the first third of this film is completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Again, if Quentin Tarantino directed an episode of The Twilight Zone, this is what would happen.
It was the one gripe I have is that the sexual content, and there's plenty of it, and it's fucking unrelenting.
I think part of it was for them to be able to establish that these guys are newlyweds who don't know each other very well. They got married in Vegas, and that's what it was a sexual transaction, a sexual attraction.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You establish that. You don't have to beat me over the head with it. Like, you smack me in the face with this big rubber dildo that says, sexual attraction. Whap. Like, I'm good. I got it. All right.
10 minutes later. Hey, did you forget about this?
Yeah. Whap.
Have you seen this? Did you hear about this?
Floppy dong.
That's the only part of this film that I have a huge gripe with.
Yeah.
The effects are cheap. I mean, but I think this movie was made for like no money.
Yeah. I get that. But again, my issue is that they could have done different things that probably would have been cheaper to make it look more realistic. Like
lighting,
like maybe not film almost the entire movie. 'Cause most of it takes place in a car.
Yeah.
It is a road trip movie, I guess you could say.
Yes.
A road trip horror movie. Most of it happens in a car with green screen windows.
Yeah.
And all that happens in the windows is night sky. You could have just put a car in a dark lot.
Well, no, not necessarily, because trying to get starlight to get caught by film while trying to make sure that the proper details in the characters' faces, like, you have to green screen that. It's not the easiest thing to do, but there's better ways to do it.
Yeah, pinholes in black velvet would have worked, like, honestly.
Yeah,
I hate to say it that way, but it was so bad because the blacks didn't match up. It was so bad as to be distracting.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you tear the movie down for those points, because mm-hmm. what I feel like is you're seeing a lot of redeeming stuff here, and then you're seeing a lot of, oh, come on. Like, if this could just be improved a bit.
So the biggest problem that I had with the movie, the effects were pretty bad. They were just bad. Not much you can say about it. They were just bad. But the biggest problem I had with the movie is the fact that the rest stop wasn't there. Like, he stops. So we go through this whole thing. They hit the guy. He ends up
dying. So the newlywed couple is having 30 minutes of sexual interactions and conversation. Then they hit a guy on the fucking highway. That's Bloody Face. Mm-hmm. Bloody Face gets... you know, they get out of the car and they realize, oh shit, he's crawling.
Right.
Fuck. So they help him into the back seat of the car, and he's back there just completely covered in
blood.
Road rash and blood. And he's smoking a cigarette, which is probably the only good looking effect in the whole film, is when he's sitting in the back and the way that the lighting can just tell that he's just bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And the cigarette and the little tiny
lights.
Little cherry light.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think that actually was a good effect. But that's the only one that they nailed. But they decide to get this guy to a hospital.
And he's being antagonistic. He's perfectly fine after a few minutes.
Yes.
He's being antagonistic.
And then he starts playing psychological games with the two.
Very much so. Specifically with Thomas Jane. Dick is his name.
Yeah.
And then what happens where he dies? He gets... oh, smashed in the head with a rock by Dick because they get into
a huge argument.
Huge argument.
Because he starts to psychologically berate Dick and say, oh, this woman you love, she ain't who you think.
Yeah.
And he starts really just grating into the base of his spine
and
just letting him have it about how sadistic or weird or untrustworthy.
Something's not right.
Or unfaithful. Or
so they get out, they get into a fight, and then Thomas Dick hits him with a rock multiple times.
Thomas Dick.
Or Thomas Jane, sorry. Dick and Jane. So then they have to bury the guy. They bury the guy. They drive on. They get to a rest stop where they're just going to kind of wash up and stuff. Thomas Jane, realizes that he lost his watch, so he goes back, gives the wife's sitting there waiting. And then this whole, it's just crazy. That's all crazy. He ends up finding a cop because he's speeding.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, who's Ron Perlman. And he says, you know, my wife's back at the rest stop, and, you know, I need to make sure she's safe, blah, blah, blah. They go back to what's basically an excavated field, which was where they buried the guy originally.
Yeah.
And they say, this is where the rest stop used to be 30 years ago. So my biggest problem with the movie is, did he just travel forward in time 30 years? Also, at one point, the car that he's in when he escapes the police, is smoke turns into smoke, goes through cars. Is he a ghost? And then the thing happens. The spoiler is, it's a time loop.
Well,
he is bloody face. Somehow he goes back in time.
And he hits himself.
He runs off the road. That's how he gets all road rash. And then he almost hits himself. He doesn't actually hit himself. He almost hits himself.
Oh, that's right.
And, okay, so time loop established. But then explain the smoke. Explain the 30 years. Where did he go forward in time? That's what I want to know. Or back in time, because he had to have gone forward and then back. I'm so confused.
Okay, so something tells me, unless we go to the next segment, my interpretation of what happens to him in this movie might be very different than yours.
Okay.
So we could have a reveal moment, but I'm not sure. Because I think that this is completely open to interpretation.
Sure.
Maybe.
To me, it just seemed like a fun movie that somebody put together, specifically Thomas, put together. And yeah, it kind of works, but I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions. Let me just put all my vowels together.
Here's my interpretation.
Yeah, tell me what you think, because I don't think I picked up on the same movie that you tried to assign me.
I think he's stuck in hell. I think this is his.
Oh.
I think this is his hell. Is the disillusion and failure of his spark quick relationship marriage.
Uh-huh.
And this murder, and then the complete feeling of dread that it creates.
Uh-huh.
It starts in bliss, but it's just a complete engine to get him to the absolute point of personal panic and suffering.
Wow, that's really, really deep. And now that you say that, I know, right? Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I think he's stuck in hell.
And hell is a time loop.
And he gets to continue to relive the dread of being murdered by himself, and then he is himself, so he gets to watch himself go crazy, and so it creates this aggressive loop where Bloody Face Dick antagonizes non-dead Dick so much more each time, because mm-hmm. he's just progressively watching his marriage dissolve and losing his loved one. I think this is hell.
And then he dies, and then because he's going through the whole continuous time loop, and then when he dies, he wakes up, because the movie starts with him waking up.
In the middle of the road.
No.
Well, he wakes up, wrecks the car, becomes Bloody Face, and then he's in the middle of the road.
No, starts all the I'm talking over. About the beginning of the movie. He wakes up in the hotel.
Oh, in the
room.
Hotel, yes. Yeah.
That's where it starts, and it's just that day. It's like Groundhog Day all over again.
Yes.
That's really good. That's a good thought.
So, yeah.
That opened the movie up for me, because I didn't see it that way. And now that you mention it that way, it's interesting.
That was my interpretation of this film.
And you know what? The clue for that to me now.
See, and that's why I think this does get some bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people who have seen this and they go, it didn't fucking mean anything. Yeah. I've said this before and they go, oh, wait a fucking minute.
But that therein is a problem, because they could have added something to the end to explain that. And then it would have made a different movie. Honestly. Because I watched it, and I'm a pretty smart dude, and I didn't come up with that. And I'm like, and I've come up with some alternative theories on movies that have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at it like, yeah, no, I'm not. I didn't pull that.
Yeah.
Now that you've mentioned it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me now. they could have done a little something, even something cheesy like Satan laughing in the background.
Here's the thing. I will admit, I may have assigned a logic and a theme with the hell idea that's not true. This could be the weird, mediocre movie that you think it is that doesn't resolve, or that everybody thinks. Or I could be right, and it could be a little bit more intelligent, and it could have been poorly executed.
Well, it got critical acclaim.
It did. But you're right. I'm seeing where the holes are, even in the way that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in my line of thinking, when I realized that he woke up, the thing that made him most blind rage and annoyed and disturbed is the idea that his wife isn't faithful and isn't what he always loved, right? And isn't what he cared about. And then it's taken away. And he just isn't stuck in this progressive loop. To me, that read like hell.
I think when the car, do you know what I'm talking about? When the car turns to smoke?
Yes.
And he's going, basically goes through two cop cars.
Yes.
If they would have said something like, it's like he's a demon, that would have turned that on in my brain. And I'd have been like, oh, got it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But the fact that I didn't get that and nobody ever spelled that out, and I'm not one who ever needs somebody to spell it out for me. This movie requires you to have something, a little something. Never mind that, you know, Ron Perlman is Hellboy. But, yeah, it just felt like I didn't get it until you explained that. And now that you've said that, I'm like, oh, this movie makes so much more sense. That's a problem in editing, that they didn't add something in to explain that. Even though at the end of the movie, during the credits, what you hear is the movie starting over.
Yeah.
So that kind of plays into that whole, you know, oh, this is going to recur and recur and recur. Yeah. Anyway, I have notes. I want to wait until the next section to do notes, but I can't do that until I grade it, and I don't grade it until the third section of the podcast. Yeah. So let's take a break.
All right. That's fine. No one has to pee.
Hit the reset button.
Reset. No, I don't want to redo all this conversation.
Oh, God.
No. Fuck that. I hate talking to you.
Oh, so that would be hell for us. Let's just record the podcast every day.
Oh, my God. How funny would it
be
if we just replay the intro right now?
Oh, God.
Cat. Flushing the toilet. It's a cat. Meow. We didn't even talk about Perry Grip.
No.
Maybe I'll save that for next week.
No.
Cat. Flushing the toilet, he's a cat. Meow. Flushing the toilet. What?
I don't know what that is. Like, you've been singing it all day.
Well, you made me watch P-P-A-P, and I wanted to show you Perry Grip Cat flushing the toilet.
You've not shown it to me yet. So
I know, because you hijacked me for P-P-A-P or whatever the fuck.
Which was awesome. But
no, it was not
weird,
awesome.
But awesome. Weird. Weird, creepy uncle awesome.
Baby monkey. Something, baby monkey.
So what did I think of this movie?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Gee, what did I think? Well, thinking is not something I did. I had to grade this movie. And I have to, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a D.
Okay, that's fair. I knew that this was going to go one or two
ways.
This
did not go well.
Okay.
I did you a service, and I didn't fidget with my phone. I didn't look it up because I wanted to. It was like, what do I need to actually pay attention to? I gave it a fair shot. The acting was decent.
Tom Jane does kill it.
And she doesn't do bad either.
No, I just looked up her name. It's Lauren something.
Yeah, she doesn't do bad either. The issue isn't the acting. The issue is the content. It's better now that you've mentioned that, hey, this could be just a purgatory loop.
Yeah.
But,
man,
even then,
if I didn't pick that part of it up, I would have never assigned this to you.
Yeah.
And the fact that you didn't come up with the same conclusion, I actually feel bad.
No, don't feel bad. It is what it is. Am I glad I watched it? Sure. I mean, it was a nice B movie. I've seen bad B movies. This isn't the worst B movie I've ever seen. But it is a B movie to the point of distraction. It has a couple of really good names in it too. But you could tell this was self-funded. It was self-written, self-directed, self-produced. And that's what it was. And it's not bad for that. It's just not, for one thing, looking at it as a horror film, it's not. It's really not. And
it's a thriller, but that's about it.
The hell thing, I can see why you would consider this a horror movie. That is different. But that's not the movie that I watched. Yeah. I feel like that movie was better than what I watched, and I have to go by what I thought when I ended it.
Yeah. No, that's fair, man. That's fair.
Let me go over some of my notes, because this kind of explains why I thought what I thought. I'm going to read these just off. Is this Thomas Jane or Aaron Eckhart? And the reason why I wrote that
nobody
is because
knows.
I can never tell the difference between Thomas Jane and Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart was Harvey Dent. Yes. And the dude from Thank You for Smoking.
What a good movie.
Which one?
Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah, I love that movie. Oh, I also love that book.
I've heard the book is
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thomas Jane looks a lot like Aaron Eckhart.
I'm sure.
With a cleft chin instead of a dimple chin.
Yes.
Yep. That is the only difference that I can think of between those two people.
It's the difference between Nathan Fillion and Bruce Campbell. Now, nobody has ever thought about this, but if you think about it, those two have a very...
And the age.
They have a very similar...
They do have a similar look.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that Bruce Campbell is a little more campy, no pun intended, yeah. And Nathan Fillion is a bit more smarmy.
It's such a good word.
As smarmy as Bruce Campbell is, he's a campy kind of smarmy,
yeah.
Whereas... Nathan Fillion, yeah, he's joking, but is he? Is he really?
he might blow you a kiss after he insults you.
Yes. He also, his same personality is in, I can't remember guy's name. Oh, God. He plays Merlin in Arrow.
Moylan has a phone!
Not
Burn Merlin. Him!
Some
home movies fan out name? There is freaking out right now.
I can't think of his name.
I don't know.
He did the Squirrel Girl costume at Comic-Con.
Oh, John Barrowman.
Barrowman. That's it.
How dare
you? Yeah.
You?
I couldn't remember his name. I'm sorry.
That man is an international treasure.
He's wonderful. He's Jack Harkness.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
He's so great.
He's great. He's a great dude.
Here's the thing, though.
I've heard he's really cool he was at Comic-Con and I didn't go.
I want to meet him so bad, but
there.
I have been told that he has... no problem kissing a male fan.
Oh, no.
If you ask for a picture, he's probably going to kiss
yes.
you.
But he's one of those that he really understands why he's there, and it's the fans.
Oh, yeah. Because
he is a fan
he's
himself.
He's so fucking genuine.
Yeah.
He's everything wrong with he's everything right. No. He is everything right that is wrong about Olivia Munn. In every fake,
fair.
Pseudo way, he is genuine.
So my next one, B-movie, because with 3 exclamation marks, because it only took me about 5 minutes to realize this is a B-movie.
So I will say this. I think this movie is a pass on everything except production. We talk a lot about what producers do, right? The difference between a producer and a director.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is a bit of a production failure, and it's a bit of a writing failure because the dialogue is pretty poor.
It can be. There are times when it's I was interested in what they
the
were saying.
The storyboarding and the conceptual story arc and the conceptual writing, I think, are great, especially with the hell idea.
Yeah.
My idea of the hell purgatory loop, whatever. But the dialogue is rough. And the production, like making the creatures and getting the turning the money into effects, that was problematic for this film.
The creeper with the Tommy Lee Jones voice.
Oh, yeah.
When he goes to the diner.
Yeah.
At that point, I did look something up. I was trying to figure out the difference between Thomas Jane and Aaron Eckhart, who was in what, because I couldn't remember. And I wrote down, just as a fun note, Thomas Jane was in a movie called Butt Whistle.
What?
I shit you not. Thomas Jane.
No, apparently you do not shit.
Was
Butt Whistle.
In a movie. And the name of the movie was called Butt Whistle.
What the fuck is Butt Whistle?
I don't
about?
Know. Didn't look. I just saw that and was like, yeah,
I can't
write that
wait.
Down.
I can't wait to see the targeted ads that you get after you click on Google.
Private.
You
private,
know what? I'll
private,
do it.
Brown.
I'll do it. I don't care.
All right. Bad green screen, classical music. There was a lot of classical music, probably because it was cheap.
Free, yeah.
Quote, no, I love pussies.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yep.
It's the dialogue in this is pretty bad.
The seduction scene was a fail for me. This movie brought to you by Cinemax, because, and that's where the sexual, like you had said, it was a little too much and a little too much softcore porn. It felt like it was a bad horror Cinemax film. When he reveals his tattoo on his shoulder, oh, what's that mean? It's Chinese. It means truth. I wrote down, it's Chinese. It means stupid white guy. yep.
I love it.
Twilight Zone animation. They were talking at one point about heat lightning. And I looked at Lindsay because we had been in an argument within the last month about heat lightning, whether or not it's a thing. Heat lightning is not a fucking thing.
Yeah, it's a complicated... It's not. Heat lightning is not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's exacerbated clouds that have not started raining yet,
no,
right?
No. Heat lightning is where you hear... You either see lightning and you don't hear the thunder, or you hear thunder and you don't see the lightning.
No, you hear it. I thought heat lightning is when it's not raining, but the clouds are still lightning and thundering.
Heat lightning is lightning that is far, far away. That is all. That's all it is.
Well, I think they call it heat lightning is because you're on the warm front of the storm, and the cold front has got it pushed away.
In
from
any
you.
Case, there's no yeah. thing.
No, I agree.
It's not heat lightning. Yes. It is a storm elsewhere that you're hearing or seeing.
Yeah.
There was a quote somewhere in here. It says, "You look like a dick," when he was talking about his name, and I wrote, "Yeah, he does look like a dick, and he drives like one too." And then I didn't write anything. I was like, no, I need to start paying better attention. The next thing I wrote was WTF. And that was it. And then time loop. And then damn it, Matt. That was it. Damn it, Matt. Why did you make me watch this movie? So the big thing for me was the reasons why I thought it wasn't great. Yeah, the dialogue and the sexual tension and stuff really bothered me. It felt like a Cinemax Quentin Tarantino Twilight Zone movie. And I like Twilight Zone, and I like Quentin Tarantino, and I don't really care for Skinamax, but you know, whatever. It just didn't, all those pieces didn't fall together correctly.
I knew this would be a gamble, but you made me do a Halloween month.
D.
So this is what you get.
Yeah, well, whatever. What are you going to do?
I see that the only thing that's redeeming for me is the concept of the purgatory loop.
Which, again, that makes it a more interesting movie for me, but they should have said that before.
Made it a little bit more apparent.
Yeah, a little
and
more.
And that's the thing, is my interpretation could be wrong, and that could be why I think it's so genius. Mm. And that's an even more fucked up thing, is that I could like this movie from an unfounded, incorrect... It's like when How Did This Get Made does the 5-star Amazon reviews of like the worst films ever. It's like, what the fuck did they watch? I could say that to Tom Jane. He goes, that is not what I was trying to do with that movie.
So since we're doing Halloween month.
Are we ending in under an hour?
In under an hour.
Whoa.
What do you think about that?
Since this is a movie everyone won't see, we probably need to. Halloween month.
Halloween month.
What are we doing?
And since I've sat here and talked about Tarantino, I know, because we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you've not seen a Tarantino film. There's a Tarantino film, at least one, that you've not seen, and it's not Jackie Brown.
Okay.
Although I don't think you've seen Jackie Brown either, neither have
he
I.
He did do a horror film, right?
He did. He did one with George Clooney.
Yeah.
And Selma Hayek. And Cheech Marin. 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 Yeah, he plays like 4 or 5 different characters.
That cast list just got fucking weird. George Clooney, Selma Hayek, Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin.
Okay. What is this the was this his first movie?
No. I don't think, see, and that's the thing. I don't know if I don't think he wrote this one. And he's in it. Of course he's in it.
This is a vampire
movie.
It's a vampire shindig, right?
Yeah.
Because I've seen the poster, because the vampires are like...
They're hideous.
Well, they're like Buffy the Vampire Slayer on 10.
Yeah.
Like they're real... It's the same accentuated things in the faces, but it's like dialed up a bit.
Yeah. A little scarier. From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's what it's called. Yep. Okay.
From Dusk Till Dawn. I think it was one of his first, if not his first... Again, I don't know if he directed or wrote or what, but it's somewhere in there. I watched this again last year.
Yeah.
Last Halloween.
So it has rewatchability in your opinion.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Wasn't this the... I think the reason that I know about this movie is because this is the first time someone gave Clooney a starring role, isn't it?
I think so. And in a feature. In... Yeah, it's... If you like Tarantino, this is not a bad film, but it's not... Tarantino does dramas and does crime dramas. That's what he does. This was different. This is different than that. It's not that. It kind of is that, but not really. And I thought it was really interestingly done, and we'll leave it at that because we'll need to talk about it after you've had it under your belt and probably watched it twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So at least it's something, and I wanted to do Halloween, and I know you've seen everything under the sun, but somehow you missed the horror / Tarantino film. Like, how did you miss this? You've seen almost everything.
Yeah, I think it's even on my Netflix queue. I just never clicked go.
I'm glad you did.
And you have to remember too, the main person in my life who likes horror films was my sister.
Oh.
And she hates Tarantino. So that's, we'll talk about it
next
episode.
That's funny.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next episode.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, call her.
I like it.
All right then.
Neozaz.com for our network.
Yeah.
Neg1cast, Gmail, Facebook, Twitter.
If you've not given us a 5-star review and we've given you a 5-star review, Adam, yeah.
Just burn them bridges,
assholes.
Thomas. Just burn them bridges.
I'm just saying.
Oh, if you haven't listened to our episode where Thomas and I guested on the Bad Advice Show,
yes.
We were on Bad Advice Show episode 13.
Hashtag full Christ.
Hashtag full Christ. I made a joke. I made a stupid joke on that's become like Bad Advice Show canon.
Yeah.
People are now writing into that show.
Yes.
And their email
they're
signatures
using that.
Are referring to my really stupid joke.
And you're not even a regular.
It absolutely kills me. So check that out.
It was a lot of fun to do.
It is a lot of fun.
It was very wrong.
Just know that the point of the whole show is how can we give bad advice? How dark can we go without making Adam hang up on us on Skype? And then what can we do to just make each other laugh?
I love
there's some goofy, horrible, deplorable things.
I think we may need to talk about, you know, becoming regulars on that show because the next one that they did, Adam wrote us.
Yeah,
and
he did.
He asked us
to give written responses to.
And we gave jokes and then he credited us. With, like, I would have just given them to him just to hear him be done. He credited it to us. So apparently our dark humor is
appreciated,
is in need, I guess.
But those are our network friends.
Yes.
Our buddies. Yeah. We love everyone on that show to death.
Yep.
Especially now that what's his face is back from Vegetaria. So see, that won't make any sense to anyone who's never heard the show.
But
Bad Advice Show is a lot of fun and they're good buddies of ours.
Yeah.
So, all right. I guess from
we'll
dusk till dawn.
We'll see you in a week.
Whoop.
Whoop.
Fucking pumpkin spice bullshit.
You know what?
Pumpkin spice bullshit?
No. My wife is a BWG because she likes PSL.
Okay, so when we were in Grand Rapids, we walked through the line and I ordered a drip over coffee because they'd never have the one that I like ready to go.
Yeah.
So I always get a pour over coffee.
Yeah.
And my wife goes, "Can you get me a pumpkin spice latte?" And I look at him and I go, "Can I get one basic?"
And they knew.
The barista just shook her head. She goes, "I actually like these." I'm like, "Well,
you're basic too." No, I will say the new one this year. For fall. So they have the pumpkin spice latte. That was the original. And then they added the salted caramel mocha, which is all right.
Salted caramel, anything. I'm on board.
It's all right.
It's good with coffee.
It can be. This year they did chili mocha.
I've heard that that's good.
It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I like chili
and coffee and chili and chocolate.
Yep.
Is something the world is starting to catch up on now.
Because that's how it was originally intended to be.
Well, if you've ever had straight cacao, it is spicy.
It's spicy, yeah.
It's spicy.
It's got a hint of... It's got a like a back of your throat burn to it.
It's got like a ball punchiness to it.
Ball punchy, that's what we'll go with.
It's a bit ball punchy.
I will get from...
That's going to be my Emeril Lagasse signature
thing.
I'm
trying to talk. Damn it.
Could you imagine if Emeril Lagasse go, bam,
ball punchy.
Ball punchy.
I will get... From time to time, as a treat to myself, I will get dark, and I don't like dark chocolate, but I'll get dark chocolate with chili in it. You know, those bars, Lindor or Lindt bars.
Have you seen the Mood bars?
Mm-hmm.
Mood bars, number one, are delicious. That regular, just straight milk chocolate one is outstanding, but they have a serrano pepper one that is...
Oh.
Woo!
I might try that.
I think it's grumpy.
But back when I was...
that's the mood bars. Yeah. There's happy, there's sad, there's scared. But I think tired. It's grumpy is the Serrano chili.
So anyway, back to what I was saying. I'll get one of those every once in a while. The local chain ice cream shop.
Graters.
Here, Graters, yes.
They're the only French brew coffee shop in the world.
Here's the thing.
Mass production French brew.
First of all, we have less listeners in Ohio than we do every other state.
It's so fucking weird. I've been looking at the stats. We're like huge in Philadelphia and D.C.
Philadelphia, I understand. That's most of Neo's ass. New Jersey, that's Adam and his friends.
Right.
Florida, that's Neo's ass. I don't understand California, and I really don't fucking get number one state is Texas.
Yeah,
we're apparently huge. We're huge in some town in Texas that I've never been to.
So anybody in Texas listening to us, number one, I want to come hang out with you because Texas is great. But number two, hello.
Hi. So I preference this local thing because it is local to us and we don't have as many listeners in Ohio as we do other states. So yeah, what the hell?
Graters Ice Cream. It's somewhere between gelato and a heart attack.
Yep.
Oh, it's so they fucking
do,
good.
They do seasonal flavors just like every other place, but they do... They do a Mexican chili.
Yes, they do.
And that's awesome.
It's a Mexican chili chocolate.
Yep.
It is fucking good.
It is really good. It's spicy, but the chocolate and the cool makes it work. So when I go to Starbucks now, I get a Frappuccino, which is basically ice cream in a cup.
Thank you, because I tell my wife I won't buy her ice cream for breakfast.
I get an extra shot because that, for one thing, I love my caffeine, but for another... It balances it out, and I get that chili mocha, and it is wonderful. It is basic white guy drink.
BWG.
BWG.
That's nice.
Guy. Male BWG.
BWP.
Penis. Basic white penis. I have a basic white penis. It doesn't kink. It doesn't curve. It's on the smallish size.
Stop.
I'm circumcised, so.
Wait. Come on. Buddy. I'm ready for a pal. Beer. I'm ready for a fucking...
I'm not your buddy, pal.
I'm not your guy, pal, buddy, friend.
Oh my God. It's a baby whale, Jay.
It's a baby fucking whale, Jay.
I think it's dying, Jay. Look at this kid.
Oh shit, kid. We seeing shit we ain't never seen before. Oh, fucking fuck. This is the best video.
To anybody, I have a pen. I have an apple.
I'm turning off the podcast.
Apple pen.
I'm going to make you listen to Perry Griff.
I have pineapple. pineapple pen.
We're done.
Apple pen. Pineapple pen. Pen pineapple. Apple pen.
Son of a bitch.
NeoZaz.com.